Some of my greatest childhood memories, they're wrapped up in Christmas. So I love this time of year. When I was a child, growing up back in Arkansas, we would go to my grandmother's house. A lot of my extended family, cousins, everybody, we lived pretty close to each other. So even though we saw each other quite a bit, this was a pretty special time of year because all of us would come together. We would pile into my grandmother's tiny house there. We would eat together, and then we would open gifts. This was on Christmas Eve. And later that evening, we would make the three-mile trek down Highway 228 to our home where me and my siblings would go for round two opening gifts. It was an exciting time. But there was always that one gift, right? There was that one gift that was left. The gift that would be under the tree on Christmas morning. Like something straight out of a scene of a Christmas story. There was that one gift that you had asked for over and over and over and over. And if you did not get it on Christmas Eve, you knew there was still a chance because there was still Christmas morning. And I still remember that feeling of waking up on Christmas morning. It was always still dark. The sun had not come up yet. But I would be wiping my eyes, walking into the living room, and it was dark, but you could still see underneath the tree, underneath the soft glow of the Christmas tree lights for that one gift. It was Christmas morning. And there were great expectations. Now, this year, maybe you're thinking that words like Christmas and great expectation may not belong in the same sentence. In fact, maybe while some people are embracing the Christmas season, maybe you're bracing for it. In fact, maybe right now you're getting ready. And what are you doing? You're lowering your expectations. I get it. I mean, after all, you know what they say. I mean, the key to happiness is low expectations. Low expectation. Okay, lower. Lower. Ah, there you go. Now we're good. Get those expectations down good and low.
Hey, get them low enough.
You'll be amazed at anything, right? But what if I were to tell you that the problem may not be that your expectations are too high, but maybe they're not high enough? You know, I wonder if maybe there are times where we've experienced less hope because we've settled for a lesser Christmas story. Now, don't get me wrong. I love Christmas. I love everything about it. I love the music. I love the movies. I love the food. I love everything about it. But if you're looking to those things to give you hope, if you're looking for those things to, I don't know, maybe recapture that childhood feeling, you're setting yourself up for disappointment. In a year like this, I'm not so sure that we can take much more of that. There is hope. I've come today to tell you that there is hope that will not lead you to disappointment. Actually, those aren't my words. I just stole them from the Apostle Paul. Here's what he writes in Romans chapter 5. He says, And this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. This hope. This is the hope that we all long for. A real hope, a true hope, a lasting hope. But to experience this hope, well, we're going to need a true hero of hope. As a kid growing up, Christmas morning, you walk in there, you're looking underneath the tree for that one gift. I mean, that one gift that is going to make you happy for the rest of your life. Or at least that's what you told your parents. Hey, parents, no pressure.
And I knew that there were limits, but I'd also heard the legends. Old Saint Nick, Sinterklaas, Papa Noel, Father Christmas, the big guy in the big red coat. He rewards everyone who's good. And if you're on the naughty list, well, good luck. Maybe he'll forget. No, wait a second. He will not forget because he has a list and he checks it twice. He never gets sick. He never gets old. He can travel the entire world in one night. Friends, it takes my family 9 hours just to get out of Texas. Here's why he travels so fast. It's because he travels alone. I'm just telling you. I mean, you don't ever hear any stories about Dancer needing to stop at a Buc-ee's or anything like that. I mean, they're flying. Yeah. He's a father who will sit you on his knee, and he will listen to your deepest desires and the longings of your heart. He will look you in the eye, and he will listen intently. Well, he sounds a little bit like the hero we hoped for. Until January. In January, well, he's gone. But the payments aren't. Come April, he's never helped me pay my taxes. Come July, well, we're all down here, at least in Texas, sweating it out. You know where he's at? He's in the North Pole, where it is a comfortable 73 degrees average high temperature. I learned that. Now you know. He only comes once a year. And when he does, there's just some things he can't do. I have a good friend who is a professional Santa. I mean, like, year-round, he's done the big Hollywood movies, and I love hearing his stories. A lot of times, everywhere he goes, you know, the big white beard is just a dead giveaway. He told a story this past week. He was in the grocery store. And as many times happened, a little girl caught his eye. He smiled, and she walked up to him, left her mom. He motioned to the mom as if it's okay. She said, "There's just one thing that I want for Christmas this year. You see, this year, my grandma passed away, and I really, really, really want to see her again." He's in the middle of a grocery store. He kneels down to the little girl. He looks her right in the eye, and he says, "I'm sorry. I don't have the power to do that, but God does." You see, that little girl discovered what you and I know, and that is that the gifts are great, but he's not the true hero of hope. Because when it comes to the deepest longings of our heart, those things that we desire the most, he can't fulfill those. Well, he can't take away the sting that we feel when we stand in the cemetery. He can't take away the weight that we carry because of the burden of past mistakes. He can't help heal the hurt that we hide from everyone else because we don't want anyone to see it, because sometimes we just feel such shame. One day a year, he's in, he's out. But there are 364 days left in the year. Here's the point. If you want hope that doesn't disappoint, you're going to need a hero that doesn't disappear. I came today to tell you that there is hope, because there is a true hero of hope. He does not disappear. He will not leave you. 365 days a year, 24/7, he is with you. And not only is he with you, he has the power to grant the deepest desires of your heart. Would you like to know this hero? Well, I would sure like to introduce you to him. Actually, I would love to let the Apostle Paul once again introduce you to a true hero of hope. If you have your Bibles, turn to Philippians chapter 2. We're going to begin in verse 5. If you've got your Bible apps, they're worshiping online with us at home. Let's get those out right there, and we're going to dive into God's Word. We're going to begin with the words of Apostle Paul here in Philippians chapter 2. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as church. Will you just say his name, the true hero of hope? Jesus Christ. He is the true hero of hope. Let's learn some things about him. Not only that he came to this earth, but Paul, he's going to tell us a little bit about how he came. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Let's go back to the beginning and let's see some of the things that Paul is pointing out to us. We begin, Jesus is in very nature God. Well, what does this mean to be in very nature God? Well, it means that prior to the birth at Bethlehem, he had every benefit of deity. He was truly divine. He was pre-existent. John 1 tells us this, all things were made through him. All things. And without him, nothing was made that was made. He was there. Before time, he was there. He was pre-existent. There is not a person, there is not a planet, there is not a protostar that doesn't need a stamp on it that says, made by Jesus. He even created stars that you can fit over a billion Earths in it. There's nothing in the universe that was not made by him. But Paul is not so interested necessarily in Christ the Creator as much as he is Christ the Incarnate. What's Paul saying here? He's saying, hey, Jesus was large and in charge. And yet, here he is, making himself small. The God who spoke stars into existence is now going to be taking time to have one-on-one conversations with people. Here's the point. Jesus was fully God, but genuinely human. Paul does not want us to miss this point. This is so important in understanding who Jesus Christ was and who he is. Jesus was fully God, but genuinely human. What does this mean? This means that Jesus had all the emotions that we have. He felt the things that we feel. He laughed. He laughed at jokes. I can imagine he probably laughed at jokes that weren't even funny, like some of Max's jokes. I'm just saying, I mean, he probably would have even laughed at some of those. Read scripture. He cried. He wept. He cried when he lost loved ones. He felt that deeply. He was frustrated. He got frustrated with those disciples. He knows what that feels like. He was full of joy. He knows what that feels like. He knows what that feels like because he became one of us. Yes, he was fully God. But Paul does not want us to miss this. He goes on to say, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his advantage. He was God, but he didn't use that divine advantage to his advantage. I think I would have. No, I know I would have. I mean, if I had that kind of power, guys, have y'all been to the mall lately? Have you seen the traffic at the mall? I would be like, I mean, I wouldn't want anybody to know that it was me, but I would be parting that traffic like the Red Sea. I'd be like, hello, Merry Christmas, I am coming through. I mean, I got places to be. I would so be doing that. Or maybe if I was in a conversation with one of my kids, maybe an argument, well, not an argument, but like an intense, robust conversation. I think I would probably be doing like some Jedi mind trick on them. You know, they'd be like, Father, you are the smartest man alive. I never thought of that. That would be... You would do it too. You know you would. Don't even act like you wouldn't. That would be awesome. But it wouldn't be the heart of God. How do we know? Paul continues to write. He didn't use the divine to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. See, Jesus did not come to be served. He came to serve. He became human so he could serve humanity. He did not come to demand. He came to display. He came to display the very heart of God. You want to know the heart of God? Then look at Jesus. When people mocked him, he did not take away their voice. When they mocked him, he did not cancel them. I mean, he could have. He could have canceled them like forever. But he didn't do that. When they spit in his face, he didn't like stop the spit midair and then turn it and like put it back in their face. I think I might have done that. At least once. Come on. You guys are acting so spiritual this morning. You know you would have. But he did not. In fact, he did the exact opposite. Look at what he did. He was obedient even to death. Even to death on a cross. Now, why does Paul emphasize that? He was obedient to death, even to death on a cross. Here's what you need to understand about the cross. Crucifixion was the cruelest form of execution in all of the Roman Empire. Friends, there was no Eighth Amendment. I mean, it was cruel and it was unusual. The victims, they would be whipped, beaten, tortured, hung on a cross, speared in the side. Sometimes they would break their legs. They would leave them bloody, naked, hanging there outside the city gates, along the road. Why would they do that so close to the road? Because they wanted the people passing by to know this is what Rome does to those who are evil. This is how Rome treats evil doers. You want to know the heart of God? Look to the cross. It cannot be said enough. That was God hanging on that cross. Okay, that was God who felt a whip across his back. That was God who felt the spear in his side, who felt the nails pierce his hands and his feet. That was God who breathed stars in existence, who took his final breath on that cross. That was God. You want to know the heart of God? Then look to the cross. And look to Jesus, who not only came into this world, but look at how he came into this world. Jesus descended into the incarnation step by step. First step, in nature, God. Second step, he did not grasp equality with God. He made himself nothing. He took on the form of a servant. He submitted himself to death. And then the final step, even death on a cross. From a crown to a cradle, finally to a cross. Jesus would not only be placed in a womb, he'd be placed in a tomb. But that tomb could not hold the true hero of hope. For 3 days later, he was raised from the dead. He was not finished, and neither was Paul's pen. He kept writing. Therefore, God exalted him to the
highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God had rescued his son and placed him in the highest place. The highest place. There is no higher place. There is no angel that is higher. There is no political office that is higher. There is no throne in all of the universe that is higher. His is the, right now in this very moment, Jesus is seated on the only throne that has any power throughout all the universe. Any other throne, any other king, any other kingdom is simply pretending. And God has placed his son in the highest place. And not only that, he has given him the name that is above every other name. Now, we understand that names can carry power. Right? Certain names can get you certain things in this world. At least here in America, this last year with an election year, we've spent a lot of time with a lot of names that have power. And yes, it is true that there are names that will turn heads. But it's also true that there is one name that will forever bow all of the rest of them. Every name, every knee. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under earth. Every knee, the rich, the poor, the politician, the physician, the preacher, the panhandler, it doesn't matter. Every knee will bow before him. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There may be people right now that if you encourage them to bow their knee now to Jesus, they might laugh at you. But friend, they won't laugh forever. Because there is coming a day when every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. There is coming a day where we will all bow in his presence, even, maybe even especially, Satan himself will bow in the presence of the one true king. Isaiah reminds us of this. All who have raged against him will come to him and be put to shame. All. I get this picture in my mind of maybe it's a long line before the throne of Jesus. And one by one, ruler after ruler, those whose names carried power in our day and age, stepping up to the throne. I don't know, maybe from Caesar or Napoleon or Alexander the Great. I don't know, maybe they're walking up and they're taking their crown and just laying it at the feet of Jesus. One by one, ruler after ruler. Medals, awards, degrees, all placed at the feet of Jesus. I imagine, I don't know who this is, but I imagine the person who had the largest bank account in the history of the whole world brings their bank account and lays it at his feet, because in that moment it will be nothing in the presence of true kingship. It will be nothing in the presence of the king. In that moment, nothing will matter. No one will matter. Just Jesus. So now I've got a question for you. If Jesus is the only one that's going to matter then, I have a question for you. Who matters now? Who matters in your life now? I mean, let's get real practical. Who has your time now? Who has your attention now? Who has your money? Who has your talent? Who has your heart? Who has your worship? If we're all going to be worshiping Him, then doesn't it make sense that we would prioritize worshiping Him now? I want to encourage you to prioritize with your family weekly worship of the one true King. Is it something that we prioritize, or is it just something that we kind of do, you know, when we kind of don't have something else to do and it's kind of convenient and, well, we, you know, who's speaking this weekend or whatever we kind of make our decisions on? No, this is the one true King of the universe. Let's prioritize bowing our knee, not just then, but now. He's the one true King. Let's prioritize this. And let's share this hope. I shared this with you a couple weeks ago, but I just have some real practical suggestions for you that you can do even this week. Come on, we're creative people. Get those creative juices flowing. We can share the hope. We can help someone through an act of service. They don't even have to know. But God will know. It'll make them smile. Because it's what He does. You can open your life to others. Maybe someone doesn't need an act of service. Maybe they just need a friend. Maybe they just need someone to listen. To not even say a word, just to listen. But maybe we could open our lives to others. Maybe we could pray. Pray for those where you live, work, learn, and play. The big guy in the big red coat, he's not the only one that can make a list. I want to encourage you, make a list. Check it twice. Go back. And pray for these people over and over and over. God has put people in your life that you can be praying for right now, and praying on their behalf. And then finally, encourage someone to embrace the hope of Jesus. What would you say to someone, if you were to encourage someone to embrace the hope of Jesus? And maybe right now God is even bringing someone to your mind. Where you live, work, learn, play, someone in your sphere of influence that you could encourage to embrace the hope of Jesus, what would you say to them? Here's what I might say. I might say, you can trust Him. You can trust Him because He became one of us. I might say, you can know Him. Because He died for us. And I might say, you can follow Him because He defeated death for us. If it's a present underneath the Christmas tree on Christmas morning that you're looking for, then maybe the big guy in the big red coat is your big chance. But if it's eternal hope, if it's redemption, if it's forgiveness, if it's freedom that you're looking for, then look to the manger. Look to Jesus. Kneel with the shepherds. Worship with the angels. Glory in the highest. Not just then, but now. Let's worship with them now. The true Hero of hope. I don't know, maybe you're looking to lower your expectations. I think I might raise mine. Because we have this hope that does not lead to disappointment. Can we just pray about that right now? I want to take just a moment, pause right now. I do not believe it is any accident that you are here, that you are worshiping online with us by accident. God has ordained this moment for you, and He wants to speak to you. And so we're just going to take a moment to let Him speak. I want to encourage you to open your heart and your ears and just listen to what He has to say to you. You may say, God, what is it that you want me to hear? What is it that you want me to see today? And what is it that you want me to do in response to that? Let's just take a moment. I'll come back and I'll close this with prayer.
Father, we thank you for revealing your heart through Jesus, through the cross. You left no doubt. This is why we can know how much you dearly love us. Move in our hearts. Draw us closer to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.